Let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would, and I want you to turn into the New Testament this morning, into the book of Acts. We have been there for several weeks, and for those that are here this morning, because you got invited and someone loved you and cared for you and said you were their friend and you showed up, thank you for being here. We're in this series, as you see it on the screens this morning, entitled A Great Church, A Great Church. Now, that could sound braggadocious. That could sound like, man, what, you think you got it all together? Absolutely not, okay? In fact, the series has been more of a help and a challenge and convicting, I trust, to our church people, and that we want to be a great church. And so we started in September going through these different thoughts, as you can see them on the screen, from the power, the purpose, the people, the preaching. We took a special service, and we added that actually with the prayers of what was going on with the tragedy in our city and just Vegas strong, and took some time to pray over some special things that our city needed on that week. And then we looked at the proclamation, and now we come down to the last three, and we're going to look at the picture this morning. Look at the process tonight, and then next Sunday on the 29th of October, we'll conclude with the pattern. And we'll be back in Acts chapter 2 next week, and so I'm going to read the context of Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47 this morning, and then share a topical message with you today, a topical message on the picture of a great church, the picture of a great church. Would you look at verse 41 in Acts chapter number 2, and as I read aloud, would you follow along silently? And mark your finger there, and let's look at these last verses this morning. We'll have a final word of prayer, and then jump right into some thoughts that God has us. Verse 41 in Acts 2 says this, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." As I mentioned a moment ago, we'll be back in this exact passage next week when we look at the pattern, and we'll do more of an exegesis on the passage. We'll pull out and we'll look into what is there for us to learn about the pattern of this early church in Jerusalem. But today I want to do a topical message on the picture of a great church. And I do believe that when we look into Acts 2, 41 through 47, and we read it, we quickly see the picture of a great church. And I would like to dialogue and preach and teach on that for just a few moments this morning as we have gathered here on Friend Day. Would you join me for another word of prayer? And let's ask God, as I pray aloud, would you ask God just to speak to you personally as he wants to, I know, this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you again. And Lord, we know that without you, we can do nothing. So God, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit's anointing upon this feeble preacher. And Lord, that you would take every word that needs to be said and that you would have me to relate to your people. And Lord, be able to say it with clarity, with boldness, with thought, with love. But Lord, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want to just make it likable, Lord, when you're trying to do the convicting and helping us, Lord, to draw closer to you. So Lord, I'm just showing up, yielding, and I want you to fill me up with the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, I'm asking that you would be with every listener, including this preacher today, that we would hear directly from you, that you would do some mighty things, some great things in our lives. Lord, I know that some are visiting, some maybe even from out of town and other places, Lord, and they're here today with us. Lord, I'm glad they're here. So, Lord, wherever you find us next Sunday, and even tomorrow, may we be able to take this truth, this message, and be a part of a great church the way you want us to be, the way we should be. Lord, I pray again, if there's someone here that is searching for the answers to life, Lord, we know the answer to life is Jesus. And if there's someone who's uncertain, confused, doubting, thinking that they can work their way to a better place, help, Lord, through the message and the time we gather today, may they see, may we all see, that Jesus only is the way. May we come to that and have that, Lord, to know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is my Savior. In your wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. So it was 16 years ago this month that a small group of people established Mountain View Baptist Church. It was actually established just down the street on Ann, just a little bit, right next to the next intersection in Cimarron, and hook a left, and you go into a small little community center, Cimarron Rose Community Center. It was 16 years ago that a small group gathered there, and they desired to become a great church for God. You know, time has passed. I was just talking with Brother Jerry this morning, and he's like, Pastor, it's hard to believe it's been 16 years, and it absolutely has. I was here in year number one. I was not the lead pastor at the time, but I've seen a lot through 15 years, and some of you have been here for several years, and you've seen a lot. And you know, we have seen time pass very, very fast. We're sweet 16. Isn't that awesome? That's just great to think, right? And as you think about that, a lot of time has passed and a lot of faces have changed in the years. And with Vegas being such a transient city, that happens with Air Force personnel and others that come for a short job or for the community and doesn't fit or whatever, and they move on. But there has been some familiar faces also, and time has passed, and many have rolled up their sleeves and have endured. And when I think about today, I must tell you and submit to you, no, I do not think, and I'm not being braggadocious, and I already said that we are a great church in the matter of we have completed everything to perfection the way that God has told us to. But I must submit to you this morning that I do believe Mountain View Baptist Church has efforted very, very faithfully to try and strive to be a great church. And I'm thankful for that. It was Jerry that told me this morning, says, Pastor, can you just think that 16 years on the second floor in a rented facility that God has done a great thing with Mountain View. It's amazing. To God be the glory what he has allowed to happen on the second floor of 7830 West End Road. And as I pull back and as I have gone through this message and as I have looked forward to this day for many, many weeks now, I am excited to be able to present this message and just to help us look at the picture of a great church. Bring up the next slide, if you would, Jess. You know, for 7 weeks now, we've been looking at the picture of a great church. And I want to define what you see here this morning for just the next little bit. For 6 to 7 weeks, we have been looking at that shape of the church. And we know this, that the church is not a building. It is a people. The Bible tells us very clearly when we get into the Greek and we study it out that church is an ekklesia, which is a called out assembly. Assembly that God has brought together and has unified and has brought in as it hath pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, and he has placed each member in the body and he has built his church. And as he is building his church, we see that there's this picture we have this morning that's going to help define a great church. So I want us to write down 5 things this morning. If you have your outline, you can see that there's a couple blanks for you to fill in, a lot of scripture to go with that. We will not turn to all of those places this morning for sake of time, but you can do more of a study and work it throughout this week as God leads. But I want us now to look at that picture. And I want us to study and be helped about a great church. And yes, may we see some things that we're going to uncover this morning and talk about this morning taking place at Mountain View. And may we become a better church, or may we be that great church continually in these aspects where God wants us to be. And may we understand this morning that as we gather here, and your opening thought in your outline says this, the Bible teaches that everyone needs 3 homes. Everyone needs an earthly home to be born into, and praise God for your earthly home. Praise God for your heritage. It might not be the greatest, coolest, rock'em sock'em, heritage possibly, okay? But may I say, praise God for the family he had you be born into. A little more excited, church, okay? Praise God for that. God has never had an accident, okay? God knew exactly what he's doing, and he put you in the family he did for a purpose and a reason. He did it with Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis 37 through 50, where he knew that he had a plan with the life of Joseph and all of his brothers, and on the story goes. God has never made an accident, and the family that you're in, you ought to be thankful for this morning. Yeah. All right, much better. Faith, maybe better. All right, no, just kidding. You ought to be thankful for that family. Number 2, not only should everyone, or needs an earthly home, but a church home to belong to. And then thirdly, a heavenly home to spend eternity.
Amen.
The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We'll talk about that as we conclude the service this morning, but we're going to spend eternity somewhere. You have the choice. You get to pick. You really, truly do. By accepting the gift, the free gift of salvation, and having a home in heaven, or rejecting that free gift of salvation and spend eternity in hell. A God who is just, loving, and caring has given you the choice. But every person needs a home to spend eternity, and let it be heaven this morning. But that middle one, a church home to belong to. You know, the church sometimes is beat up and badgered in our society today. And may I say, yes, I think we could talk, we could study, we could look at in the last 30, 40 years of what have churches done in America. Can I just say this? And I'm pastor of a church. We've messed it up. We really have gone from Christianity to churchianity. And we've gone to where we want to please ourselves, find our place to sit, do our thing, and then go home and be who we want to be. And God never intended for the church to operate that way. Acts chapter 2, we'll break it down next week, gives us the pattern, but we see the picture of how a church really ought to operate and how it ought to be. And we learned this morning that we all need a church. I was talking to someone today, and they said that they just had they're thankful to be here and just a family feel. I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for that. Because you know what? You need to find a place where you can, yes, serve God, worship God, love God, and where you can also feel at home and feel like family. Write these five things down. Number one this morning, I want us to look at a solid foundation. A great church in its first picture is a solid foundation. That word that has been laid at the bottom of this picture is worship. May I remind you this morning that as we gather on this Sunday and as we gather next Sunday and as we gather on Wednesday night and as we gather back tonight at 5 o'clock, it is to worship one and one only, and that is God alone. Know this, that if we ever strive to try to entertain, and may I say, and I don't want to be mean to anyone that maybe has a different church background or you come from a different way, but may I say that when we read the Word of God, and we ought to read the Word of God, right?
Amen.
Amen. And the Word of God tells us that the reason that we ought to gather on Sundays, on the first day of the week, as they did in the New Testament, obviously they gathered on the Sabbath day, or they honored the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, but we come and we learn that we gather on the first day of the week for an audience of one, for God Almighty. And as you think about that this morning, we never ever want to come and be a great church that is entertaining. We don't. So, Pastor, why is it wrong to entertain? Because entertaining, 99.9% of the time, is all about emotion and feeling. May I say, I don't come to worship and I don't want people coming to worship because they want to feel good emotionally or have a good feeling. I want them to be spiritual, and I want them to walk in the Spirit, and I want them to be desiring to, if there's any feeling, it's a feeling of the Holy Spirit, okay? F-E-E-L-I-N-G, no, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, absolutely. May I say that we want to come and worship God. A great church, number one, has a solid foundation, and the solid foundation is this: we gather to worship God. Listen to some of these verses that are marked for you. Isaiah 28:16 says this: I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. We're familiar with the story in Luke chapter 6, verse 48 through 49. Jesus talks about two foundations. A foundation that one person built upon was a solid rock, and he built his house. And the other foundation that a man built upon was sand, and he built his house upon it. And when the storm comes a-crashing, what happens to the one that is on the sand? It comes crashing down, right? But the one that is on the rock, on the solid rock, what happens in the storm? It remains firm. It remains stout. And that story is told by Jesus, and he says this: check and see which stone or which foundation you're being built upon. And may I say this morning, we must ask ourselves as a church and as Christians and as families, what foundation are we building our life upon? Never a foundation of entertainment and pleasing men. That will never get us anywhere in the long haul. But a foundation that is built upon God and worshiping God and God alone, you know what? It will stand. It will last through the years. And may I say to you this morning that our worship must be a solid foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this: nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. As we celebrate and as we think about what God is doing on this Friend Day and anniversary celebration of Mount New Baptist Church, a great church, number one, is marked by its solid foundation. I want to ask this question to you. Friend, attender, member, family at Mountain View, what do you gather for on Sundays? Let it be, number one, for and having a true heart of worship. Let it be understood that we gather because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. A foundation hath been laid, and no other foundation can be laid than that which is Jesus Christ. See, don't be ashamed to shout out the wonderful blessings of Jesus Christ and all that He has done and doing in your life. And don't be ashamed to sing about a powerful song like such as, when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be when I get to understand what Jesus really, truly, fully has done for me.
Amen.
May I get you to realize this morning that I think some of us, all of us really, have not fully understood what Jesus Christ has done for us. To the gravity, to understand that, listen, I was a wretched sinner, you're a wretched sinner, but yet God in His grace gave His Son and said, I love you this much. It sinks in, but the full capacity of it, I really, truly don't think it has. But that worship is so important in a great church. Can we have fun in church? Absolutely. We ought to have fun in church, right?
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. We can laugh, we can chuckle, we can enjoy the time together. We're going to eat a meal together tonight. That ought to be done. But may it all be done on the right foundation and the proper understanding that we are gathering to worship God.
Amen.
That word in our purpose, number one on the wall, is exalt. To magnify the Lord. Come and let us magnify the Lord together. Make God big. Can I ask this question? I'll move on to point number two. Who are you making big in your life? Who's big in your life? We ought to make God big. Our worship ought to be a solid foundation built upon Jesus Christ. We see that with the great church. Secondly, this morning, fill in the blanks. A great church, number two, has a steadfast faith. A steadfast faith. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That kind of come back through and put on our hearts this morning. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Pastor, I have a question. Okay, yes, what's your question? Is there a way that I can do life possibly without recognizing God and pleasing Him? No. Why? Because God said so. That without God, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible records first in the book of Hebrews. We see in this picture of the church some key words. You ever thought about your faith in Jesus, your faith in God? Do you understand that we learn from our faith and our reading scripture and who God is truly the definitions of love, joy, and peace? Do you know that apart from God, you really truly can't have real true love? You can't have true joy, and you don't have real peace apart from God? You don't. There are different types of love, right? Phileo love and such we get into. But the true definition of what God intended love to be, God is love, someone just said a moment ago. You cannot have that apart from God. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul said this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, if you find yourself down or upset, discouraged, distressed, and I understand that the society we live in and we live in a fallen world and there is much stress around us and people fall into depression, different things. May I just say that one of the very first things we've got to do as Christians and even as non-Christians, when our joy is down, before we run to pills, before we run to a psychiatrist, before we even run to the pastor, we ought to run to God.
Amen.
And say, Lord, fill my cup up. Let my cup run over with joy. Joy is simply spelled Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Love, joy, peace. The Bible tells us in Philippians that there's a peace that passes all understanding and only comes from God through Jesus Christ. As we sit here this morning, there's a steadfast faith that a great church has. They find that God is love, that real joy comes, true joy comes from God, and a real peace is only found in God. Listen to a couple scriptures. We come to the life of Job, and back actually in the children's zone today, they're working through the life of Job on kids' zone. In chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible says, for then thou shalt lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear. Now listen to that last statement. Thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear. Don't we live in a world with a lot of fear? or a lot of frets and worries. Think about the life of Job. I don't have time to take us there, turn and expound the whole story, but we are somewhat familiar that Job was at the very beginning of time and the Word of God, and he had much. God had prospered him, had given him many children, his wife, and much cattle, and on the story goes. And then, of course, Satan comes and says, I'm going to attempt to test him and try him. He loses everything, but through it all, he says in Job 1:22, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job, we could go through all the chapters and look at the whole story, and what an amazing story. And many of us look at that and go, I can never do that. Do you know that you're just like Job? There's nothing different between you and Job. You're a human, he was human. It was a choice he made to go, you know what, I'm going to remain steadfast. And he says this, I will be steadfast and thou shalt not fear. Whatever you face today, whatever you face tomorrow, hear this. Suck up, get close to God, the God that is love, the true joy, the real peace, and praise him, no matter what you face. See, when we have fear, Timothy tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. See, we find a steadfast faith through Scripture. We see the praise. We see the adoration. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know God, you never put your faith and trust in God, you're trying to be good and work your way to heaven, may I say this to you lovingly, kind, and very forthright? You are miserable. You are. You say, what? Listen, if I was in your shoes trying to work my way to heaven, I would be just like you. I'd be miserable. Because see, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There is nothing good that you can do that will bring righteousness in the eyes of God. The Bible tells us that all of our goodness, all of our righteousness, is as a filthy rag. That's why Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is so important. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith in God. That God is love, that he does bring true joy, that he does bring real peace. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Pastor, how can I be steadfast? The thought of steadfast is means to be firmly seated, without a doubt, that God is God. God sent his Son. God loves me unconditionally. And may I just say to you this morning, friend, yes, he does love you unconditionally.
Amen.
Firmly seated, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know what? My faith is in him. The beauty of John chapter 10, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I was put into his hands, and no man can pluck me out.
Amen.
The beauty of a steadfast faith. The Bible goes on and tells us in 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in this world. Hebrews 6:19 says this, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What is that hope? It's this, be sure and steadfast. See, is your hope in Jesus this morning? Is your foundation correct? Is your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone? Or are you trying to find, if I put it this way, your own faith? See, faith in something else is not faith in God. 100% fully, let your faith be in God this morning. A great church, a Christian, that is looking at life, trying to accomplish all God wants them to do, has a steadfast faith. I want you to note thirdly this morning, a secure fellowship. A secure fellowship. See, a great church, as it's defined here in the middle of our picture, has a secure fellowship. The word fellowship is this, being willing to get in line, to be under someone that is going in the right direction, doing something for the right cause. You know what is important within a body of Christ? Is that there is a secure fellowship. A secure fellowship. It was Paul who in 2 Corinthians 11:1, right? He says these words, and we hear these words often, but just think about the importance of these words. He says, be ye followers of me as I am of Jesus Christ. Be ye followers of me as I am of Jesus Christ. You know that each and every one of us should be willing to have a fellowship heart, a fellowship heart, to be in line where God wants us to be in line, and to all be looking to Jesus Christ and say, let's go. Let's go do something big for him. You ever thought about this? That God put you here. He led you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as you have received salvation, he didn't just take you home immediately, did he? He left you here. Do you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get in line. I say that with an understanding. get in line, look to Jesus, and have a fellowship heart. To say, listen, let's do something big for God. How many of you believe that you can do something big for God? Raise your hand. You honestly believe you can do something big for God? Now, you say, Pastor, I can never do it by myself. You're right.
Amen.
And I can't either. Philippians 4:13, though, says, I can do, right? All things. It doesn't stop there, right? Through who?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Gotta check the foundation. Is Jesus Christ my foundation? Gotta check my faith. Have I got that love, joy, peace, the adoration, the thanksgiving for who God is and what He has done? And then am I willing to get in line and have a secure fellowship? I recognize this morning in the day we live where there are pastors who are hirelings, there are pastors who are misusing the flock. May I tell you that as a pastor, I humbly stand before you, and with God's help and God's hope, you know what? I see myself as an average Joe in this church, just coming along and doing what God has called us to do. I understand the pedestal, the office of a pastor, and how important that is, and I'm not diminishing that at all. But may I say to you, but for the grace of God go I. And I recognize that, and I'm so thankful that you're here this morning, that we have bonded, and we can come together, and we can have a secure fellowship. This pastor, really, truly, I'm not trying to tear myself down, okay? I wake up every day, and I look and go, what in the world do I have to offer to these people? You know what I remind myself is? I really don't have anything to offer anybody in this church by myself. But with God giving me the scriptures, God helping me, you know what I can do? Can I sit right here real quick? I can join the crowd. And we can rub elbows. And we can do life together. And we can walk together. And we can pray together. And we can run together. And when we need to stop and we need to just have some tears come down our face, we can do that. And when we need to rejoice because there's a baby born or whatever it may be, we can do that. And you know what? There's just a need for a secure fellowship. I love to say this when we have our handshake and meet and greet time. Let's have some high fives, some handshakes, and some hugs. You say, I don't like hugs. Oh, find me afterwards. Hugging is even actually truly in the Bible in the matter of when we see the culture and the understanding what's going on. Listen, to embrace one another is a good thing. Amen. To enjoy that fellowship of that security. Listen, they got my back. You know what, your pastor, I wake up in the morning and I go and I look at the community and the people God's calling pastor, and you know what, I really don't fear who's going to stab me within the back inside this church. I don't. Can I say, yes, I have been stabbed in the back in the past, okay? But you know what, I don't fear that because I really truly fear there is a fellowship here. Can we always get a little carnal? Yes, your pastor gets carnal, especially on Monday mornings. Because we're human. I get it. But here's what happens in a great church. The picture is there's a secure fellowship. Let me share a couple other verses with you. In Job 11:18, back in that same passage where we were, the Bible says this, thou shalt be secure because there is hope. All our hope is found in Jesus Christ. We've already talked about that. Thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. What a beautiful picture. I will lay me both down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. What did Jesus say in Matthew 4:19? He saith unto them, speaking to those fishermen, right? Follow me, and I will make you fishers, not of just fish, but most importantly, I'll make you fishers of men. In Mark chapter 8:34, the Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, and note this, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me. Paul said, be followers of me as I am Christ. May I remind you this morning that a great church has a secure fellowship. I don't want to stand here and say, hey, follow this pastor. I want to say, follow Christ. But I'm hoping and praying that you can follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
I want to be out in front. I want to be leading our church. Year 17 is on the horizon. I don't know what God has planned, God has sword, but I know it's going to be awesome because He's on the throne. And when I think about that and I soak that up and I take that in, then I can recognize and realize, you know what? I can remain secure right here in the house of God. This morning I ask of you, I urge you, I just remind you, there's security within the church body. When we decide just to see our safety is found ultimately in the Lord, He wants us to follow him. And when we follow him, he's going to make us fishers of men, which means we can reach more people and we can let our light be bright before them. And I have to be willing to deny myself, take up the cross, and follow him. And when I do that, you know what he brings? He brings me into a body of Christ where I can be secure and I can practice the fellowship he wants me to have. This morning, we see a great church has a secure fellowship. Then I want you to know, number four this morning, that not only does a church have its solid foundation, not only does it have its steadfast faith, but also fourthly, it has a strong fellowship. A strong fellowship. You probably have sat back and sometime in your life, no doubt probably thought, man, where would I be without God? And it didn't take you very long probably to go, man, I would be a huge wreck. I would be most miserable. I would be frustrated. I'd probably be a very angry person. I would be bitter. I'd be frustrated. On the list can go. And it all would be absolutely 100% true. Because apart from God, you would be that type of an individual. Because only God really truly can remove bitterness and anger and those things that we just talked about. But, and that's important to sit back and think, where would you be without God? But you know another question we have to sit back every now and then and just ask ourselves? In a real, honest, sincere way to evaluate our life, where would I be without a great church? Where would I be without a church that God wants me to have in my life? And you know that without a church in your life, you would find yourself not necessarily growing in your Christian life. You would not find yourself fulfilling the one another's that God wants you to do with your life. You would find yourself really, truly in a very... more often in a carnal state than in a spiritual state. See, a strong fellowship within a church is very, very important. And hear me this morning. Every one of you, and if it's your very first time here, it goes to you too. Every one of you in this church are very, very important to this church. Each and every one of us must realize that God has a special place for us within the body. And it is our job to be in place in the body. See, because when you're in place in the body, that's when the strong fellowship comes. We'll look at Acts chapter 2 next week. We'll tear it apart on more on the fellowship, the koinonia part of it. The true one another, the true aspect of, listen, as I said earlier, I got your back, you got my back. Let's go have fun. We can have differences. You can like a different sports team than I like, and it's all fine. You can like a different color than I like, and it's all fine. You can even have some secondary doctrinal issues or thoughts, and it's all fine. Because you know what we ought to desire and strive for? A strong fellowship. You know you're going to wake up tomorrow, and many of you are going to go to a workplace in this city, and yes, maybe you have a great employer. Maybe you have a great employees around you that maybe you are in charge of or work with you. But you know also that in that same environment, there is just a lot of people tearing people down. Just tearing people up. Trying to climb over each other to get to the top of the ladder, to make more money, to have the promotion or whatever it may be. And church ought to be a place where you can come and you can high five, give knuckles or whatever it is, and give hugs and have a strong fellowship. And you can look at someone in the eyes and say, you know what? Today I'm just miserable. I use this illustration often, and it kind of just wakes us up a little bit. You know, when you engage with someone, you ask them how they're doing, listen to what they say. We just hope they say they're doing good. And then we can go on, right? Hi, Ms. Tanya, how are you? I hope so. How are you, Brandon?
I'm pretty well, how are you?
what if you slow down enough to engage them? I asked someone this morning, I said, how are you? And they lied to Pastor. I'm not going to call them out. I'm not going to look at them, look at the carpet right now so you don't know where I'm going. They said, I'm good. I said, no, how are you really? They said, I'm not good. And I make a little light of that. I just say, listen, each and every one of us in our own way got some hurt, got some frustration. And you know what we are big about in this day and culture? Cover it up. Can I submit to you before I get to this last thought? This church ought to be a place where you can come and you don't have to cover it up. Well, Pastor, but aren't you looking for perfect Christians? No. No. Perfect in the thought of completeness and maturity? Absolutely. I'm trying to get there too. Noah and Enoch and Job were mentioned to be that type of individual where they were walking with God. We all should strive that way, but not as in perfection. But the idea of, I'm working on it. What does Philippians 1:6 say? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. So you know what? Listen to me and just put the facade off. It's okay to say, I'm having a miserable day. It stinks. Oh, can we pray about something? Can I help you with something? Can I engage anything in your life? Sometimes people just need prayer. But because we have given this, okay, social media has messed us up.
Amen.
And if you are a millennial here, can I tell you, stand up, rise up, and get above it all and go be face-to-face relational with other young people.
Yeah. Amen.
We hide behind screens, and we have now brought it really truly into our whole life everywhere where everything's good, hunky-dory. And we're broken, and we're miserable, we're frustrated, we're angry. Our marriages are a wreck, our families are a wreck, the church is stifling it sometimes because we really truly have a facade. May I remind you that God sees everything and knows everything.
Amen.
It's hidden from God. Well, that's fine. He can know it all, but you can't. I don't need to know it all. But let's be real with one another. Let's engage one another. Well, Pastor, but if I tell you that I'm struggling in my marriage or that my family's frustrated, you're never going to let me serve. What? You've been talking with the devil? Listen, we all have problems. We all have frustration. We all have times when we have to even sometimes pull back a little bit and just reevaluate our life and then go at it again. I've been married for 20 years, and 20 years of marriage has not been 100% blissful and just magnificent every long way because I have married a sinner. Love you. What's that? She doesn't have the money. You know the real, obviously, yes, that she married a sinner too. And you know what? Within our marriage, it's a constant work. With any marriage that looks godly, that looks like they have it all together, may I say we don't have it all together, I guarantee you deep down they have problem days. They have days where they have to have tears, and they have to have a little bit of a conversation, and times when they have to just reevaluate. And within family, it's the same way. And listen, in just life, it's that way. Amen. All I'm saying this morning is get the facade away. Let's be real. Let's be honest. I just don't know. Try it. And if somebody badmouths you, somebody gets ugly, you just come to me, okay? There needs to be a strong fellowship within a church. There needs to be a desire to walk in the light as He is in the light, and we will have fellowship one with another. May I say this, and I'll give on the last point this morning. To be in a strong fellowship, you got to be involved.
Amen.
Oh, there it was. I knew Pastor was going to say, I got to go serve in ministry. No, I didn't. You got to be involved. You got to be around. I don't know about you, but I think church is a cool place to hang out. I'll tell you this. I believe it's better than a bar. Okay, all right. You guys agree too. Okay. I even believe it's better than a ball game. I really, truly do. Although you can have fun at a ball game. You say, oh, Pastor, you're picking on. I'm not picking on you. You can go to a bar if you want. It's not sinful to go to a bar. He just said that. It's not sinful to go to a bar. It's not. Okay. But anyways, that's a whole other message of the day. Okay. Is there wisdom that I'd use? Yes. But I just want to say it's not simple. It's not simple to go to a ball game. But I'll tell you this, there's no better place to be, I believe, than in the house of God with other people and wanting to enjoy strong fellowship.
Amen.
Tonight at 5, there's a great dinner. We're going to be spread out on some tables and a wonderful time together. As much as I'm going to enjoy the dinner, I'm thankful for all those that have prepped and planned. But you know what's going to be the strongest and the greatest thing? Is that we've gathered to worship God, and that there's going to be able to have a strong fellowship.
Amen.
So think about this, and yes, I'm going to go a little bit here. If you ditch tonight, you're missing out on strong fellowship.
Amen.
Sure.
Sure. Right. It's your choice. Oh, but Pastor, I got to get up at 4 a.m. Are you really going to bed at 5 p.m. tonight? Number five tonight. A saving father. Let me close with a thought here for just a little bit. I think we've built the picture this morning, I hope very clear, about a great church. A solid foundation with Jesus Christ and his worship, a steadfast faith with a God that is love, a true joy and real peace. The secure fellowship of we have the teaching and the preaching, and we have the ability to follow Christ and be able to have mentors in our life to follow them as they follow Christ. We see a strong fellowship of all the me's, the you's, the them's, the pastors, the families, the friends, all the fill that ought to be within a church, and how it can be strong as we get around and as we are involved. But lastly, but not least, a great church acknowledges, recognizes that it has a saving Father. See, think about places that open their doors this morning and teach someone to be good. Be good. Work your way. Try to stay out of trouble. Here's a list of rules. And hopefully you can have a relationship with God. That is so unbiblical. And may I say this, it will never work. I'm glad this morning that a great church, I'm glad that Mountain View Baptist Church can loudly and clearly declare that there's a saving Father. That God is on the throne. That God is love. That God did, yes, send his only begotten Son to save the world. Listen to a few verses of what Jesus himself testifies and says in Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 12:47 says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For he came not to judge the world, but to save the world. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We have a saving Father this morning who sent his only begotten Son. I talked about a great church and how the inner workings happen, what takes place with the foundation and the faith and the fellowship and the fellowship. Close this morning, I want to speak to every one of us for 5 minutes. I want to talk to you about the Father, the Heavenly Father, who loves you. Who loves you. Who loves you so much that he gave his only Son, he invested his only Son to die for all the wicked, wretched sinners. That's strong, because that's truth. We're wicked and we're wretched people. And God looked down upon us and he said, I love you. I love you so much that here comes Jesus. See, what is so cool about life and about what we are involved in is that, yes, we can go back and we can look into Genesis and we can learn that man has fallen, and because of man's choices and obviously going back to Adam and Eve, what we're talking about, sin has come into the world, and because sin has come into the world, now there is death. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And we look at all of that and we go, wow, what a miserable, ugly picture, and it is. But think about this. You today can come into a loving relationship with God. And then know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in your life, you're just enjoying the journey because heaven is your final destination.
Amen.
You can know that. See, we hear these verses, and sometimes these verses are mentioned and spoken of, and we go, okay. But just think about a few of these verses. They're right in the Word of God, in the matter we would turn to and we would talk to with a lot of people, and many of you have them memorized. But let's just take them and put them into our think tank. But most importantly, let it come to our heart as God would lead this morning. And let's just nail it down right now that you can make a choice to receive and have Jesus Christ your personal Savior and truly understand the saving Father. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. I already said God looked down. And as he looked down upon the world, he says, I love it. I'm thankful for the creation that I have created, and I see that they are fallen. For God so loved the world, then he says, I gave my only begotten Son. I have one son. He turns 9 next month. And I want to use this illustration, and we're human. And all of us would feel the same way, but understand what God did. It brings it home. I never, ever, never, ever can imagine myself giving my son's life up for a murderer, for a thief, for a robber. I couldn't. But God said, I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the faith factor comes into your life. Do you believe that God is loving, caring, and he is faithful, and he is just? And that, yes, John 3:16 says he sent his only begotten Son. But why did he have to send his Son? Because of what we talked about earlier. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why works doesn't work. That's why your goodness is not good, because we are all sinners. And God looks down, and he hates sin, but he loves the sinner, and he acknowledges that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So he sent his only begotten Son. So we're all sinners. We're all doomed with no hope by ourselves. That's where Romans 6:23 comes in. For the wages of sin is death. It's appointed a man wants to die. For the wages of sin is death. Let that sink in. God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. We're all sinners. For the wages of sin is death. But Romans 6:23 doesn't stop there. It says but. And when there's a but in the Bible, it changes things greatly. And that's exactly what happens. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift is offered to you and I this morning. We get to make a choice. No, I'm not calling you to come back next Sunday and don't miss a Sunday and try to be good and we'll give you a pin out. We'll see if we can get you to heaven. No. I'm asking you right now this morning to recognize that you're a sinner. To recognize that you have no hope. You are doomed for hell all by yourself. But God says, I'm a saving Father.
Amen.
And I love you. And Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love. He demonstrated, he showed his love toward us. And that while we were a wretched, wicked sinner, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. That is love, my friend. That is a friend, as we talk about friend day today, that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says that a friend is willing to lay down his life for another. Jesus Christ says, you're my friend. I'll give my life for you. I will come in and take away all the sin that the God the Father sees upon you, and my blood can cover that. And when God looks down, he can see you as righteous. Not through your works, but through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that will call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, listen to this, shall be saved. Amen. Oh, Pastor, but you don't know how wretched and how wicked I am. No, I don't, and you don't know how wretched and wicked I am. And it's not a comparison game. It's know this, that when God looks down, he says, I am rich unto all that call upon me. Pastor, you're saying that God will save me today? He'll save you today. Amen. Because he's a saving Father, and he sent his only begotten Son to love you and to die for you. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in him. Acts 16:31 says this, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A saving Father is what makes a good church. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?